Want to make a difference in your community but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously. Your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend, or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Welcome back to the Popcorn Hour. I'm your co-host, Matt.
And I'm your co-host, James.
And today we are going to be doing something a little different. We are going to talk about a bunch of movies, but do you kind of want to explain what we're doing?
Yeah, so I don't remember how I came up with this idea or like why, but it's going to be the best worst movies. So movies that were not like watched by a lot of people, like it did bad at the box office or did terrible on streaming, that we enjoy, or movies that aren't really critically received very well. We will be like just saying the movies that we liked or that we thought were actually like critically watching it, thinking it was good, and other people just didn't. And this is gonna be less of like just a bunch of movie reviews and just kind of talking about a bunch of movies that we liked or like, and either why they weren't received well or why other people don't like it. And then why we do. It'll probably make a lot more sense once we like start.
Yeah.
And once we like really get into it. But that's the general idea.
Okay.
So we'll just start how we usually do of what movies we watched since we last filmed. Do you want to go first?
Yeah. So we just got back from Norway. So our flight from Norway, we went from Oslo to Amsterdam, which was a 2-hour flight. And then it was supposed to be a 3-hour delay and ended up being, or a 3-hour layover, and ended up being a 6-hour layover. And then I don't know if you realize this, but we were in the air a lot longer on that last flight than
for 10 hours.
Yeah,
we were eight.
Yeah, 10 hours. So we had a lot of time to watch stuff. So
what happened was it was supposed to be like a linear line straight down. But once we got back into Georgia, there was weather, so we had to like completely cut around Georgia and then come back through.
Even before that, even like, because we had to go up to like Canada.
Yeah.
And then come back down.
It was weird.
And once we got to...
We went straight past Iceland.
Yeah. Once we got to North America, like that's when we had really bad turbulence. And then it started to kind of, that's when they started to do some weird maneuvering.
Have you seen Sharknado 2?
No.
So Sharknado 2, it starts and they're on the plane. And then all of a sudden, like the main character like looks out the window and there's just lightning. And then he sees a shark like silhouette through the clouds. And once they were like, we have some bad weather, so we're going to kind of go around the airport. I looked out the window and then saw a huge lightning flash, and I was like, that's cool. Hopefully we don't get struck, but that was cool. It reminded me of Sharknado.
Oh, yeah. So with all that time, I had a lot of time to watch stuff.
I watched 6 movies that day. We were traveling for 26 hours.
Yeah.
It was a very long, long, strenuous, boring, slow. I edited the last episode in the airport because the night before we were told that we had a 3-hour delay, and so I was like, I'm just going to edit in the airport, and then...
That didn't even take you that long.
No, last episode kind of took quickly, and upload, it probably took in total like 2 hours, 2.5 hours, but they had pretty good Wi-Fi there. shockingly. Yeah. So everything uploaded relatively quickly.
Yeah.
All right. We got like those burgers that had like a weird marinara that was gross on it.
It was salsa. It was salsa.
That's what that was so gross.
It was sweet salsa and it was so nasty. I was so disappointed. But anyway, so threw up from our traveling back here and then to today, I started with WWE Unreal, which is a new documentary series on Netflix that kind of lays out how they do certain things backstage. It's 5 episodes. It's an hour long. Super interesting. If you like the, if you're a wrestling fan and you like to keep the, what we, the term we use, kayfabe, then it's not for you. But I really, really, really enjoyed it. I was so pleased with everything that they did. And then I watched Beautiful Boy, Tom Clancy's Without Remorse. Beautiful Boy was super good.
I told him that he should watch it.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it. The whole story was really good. I didn't realize it was a true story until the very end when it just kind of ended and I was kind of, I got mad.
It happened with Manchester.
Yeah.
I think I liked the ending of Beautiful Boy more.
Yes,
I think it was a little more well done because it kind of, no spoilers, but it's kind of like saying the, this story isn't like over. This is like a never ending story or like a never ending battle.
Yeah.
And it was interesting. I didn't really care for Timothy Chalamet that much until that movie. I was, really enjoyed it.
Yeah. It was good.
Great soundtrack.
Yeah. I liked really it a lot.
Steve Carell was amazing.
Yeah. I liked him a lot. I like him when he does serious roles. Tom Clancy's Without Remorse was forgettable. I didn't care for it. It was, some of the dialogue was not great. But Michael B. Jordan, I mean, he did a decent job, but it, I just don't think the script was that good. You had me watch The Place Beyond the Pines. I just, that one threw me for a loop 3 different times, as it feels like 3 different movies, but it was really, really good. I've said before that I don't like Ryan Gosling all that much, and he's one of the main characters in this movie, and I actually really enjoyed it. It was really good.
And that might be one of my favorite roles that he's done.
Yeah, it was.
It reminded me a lot of Drive.
Like, I haven't watched it.
You've seen Drive?
No. I think I watched part of it.
Oh.
Yeah, but it had Ryan Gosling in it, so I turned it off.
I like the soundtrack for that one a lot, too. It's so, it's, I'll talk about it once I get to a movie I watched.
Yeah, it was definitely interesting and definitely threw me for a loop, but I liked it a lot. And then I watched Heads of State, which had John Cena and Idris Elba. Their dynamic between the two of them is always so good. And I think it works really well. The story itself is just a generic action comedy. So it was okay. I enjoyed it. It had a lot of funny moments and stuff like that. So, I mean, and the action was pretty good, but it wasn't anything. And then Blink Twice was the last movie I watched on the plane. Overall, that was a pretty good movie. The ending I didn't care for. And it was just really weird and certain parts were super uncomfortable.
It was a pretty uncomfortable movie to watch.
Yeah.
But like some of the characters were pretty good, like Christian Slater.
Yeah.
And I like Channing Tatum's character.
Yeah, Channing Tatum's character is really good. He's smart, but he's also kind of an idiot. Which is kind of funny.
It was because that was directed by Zoe Kravitz. Mm-hmm. And oh, speaking of which, she was not married to Jason Momoa. Jason Momoa was her stepdad.
Yeah, I know. I couldn't find it in time, but I was like, that, as soon as I said it, I was like, that's not right.
Yeah, so that's not right. The last episode, I think it was.
Yeah, it was the last episode.
They were married. They were not married. That was wrong.
That's, yeah.
But
I know. But it's fine.
But it was her directorial debut, and it seems like she's taking a lot of inspiration from Jordan Peele, who did like Get Out, Us. Nope.
Yeah.
So it was kind of, she was kind
of, there's a lot
going
of
going off of that type
shots.
Of style.
Yeah.
I like the cinematography was pretty good.
Yeah.
And some of the like visuals are.
One of the biggest things that bothered me about that movie is I get motion sickness really easily. And I just felt like the movie gave me secondhand nausea because I could tell like when, cause it's like a party movie, like they're partying the entire movie. So like I could feel like, the how they are drunk and, you know, just out of it. I felt that. And I think a lot of it had to do with the plane too, because the turbulence was pretty bad around that point.
Good filmmaking.
Yeah. So, but it like, I felt like I got secondhand nausea and I was like, I'm ready for this movie to be over. I'm ready to land. Because by that point, we had like 10, 15 minutes left on the plane.
The thing on the plane kept saying that we had like 30 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And then I looked and it just went up to 50. Yeah. And it went to 20 and then 40. And I was like, what is happening here?
Yeah, it was insane.
It also reminded me of like a Wes Anderson movie because they had these like really wide like establishing shots of like the scene and then just someone walking across it. And it looked very flat, very like linear, like a Wes Anderson.
Yeah.
And I thought that was kind of interesting. And it also reminded me of like not specifically Knives Out, but more of Glass Onion.
Okay. Yeah.
But yeah.
Yeah. And then when we got back, we were just kind of catching up on stuff. So we caught up on Big Brother. And then caught up on WWE. So I finished watching Raw, watched SmackDown on Friday, watched SummerSlam Night 1 last night, which I got irritated with. At the end of the night, I was so irritated. I'll have Elizabeth show you the video that she took of me that I didn't realize she was taking of me. I was like freaking out, just so mad for the whole thing. Overall, it was good. And then I watched Fantastic Four Rise of the Silver Surfer, which was pretty, it's okay.
That movie will be on my list for this episode of the worst best movies, because I do enjoy that movie a lot. It's so funny, like the, how do you and her do it? And he goes, that's none of your business. And he goes, or he's like, what do you mean? And he's like, how do y'all?
Yeah.
And then he's like, that's none of your business. And he's like, I'm sorry, I just hate to hear that she died in a rock slide.
Yeah. It's an enjoyable movie. Some of the dialogue is very comic booky, which is nice, but it's also kind of...
Or when he's like, Johnny, and he goes, this is Dolce.
Yeah, yeah. That's funny.
It's got a lot of, like... I feel like that movie, like, the first act and a half is just, like, a it feels like you're just watching a compilation.
Yeah.
Isn't that the one where Johnny pranks him? Pranks Ben by putting, like, shaving cream on his hand and, like, rubbed him with a feather?
Want to make a difference in your community but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously. Your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend, or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
That was the first one?
Yeah, that was the first one. Yeah. But, yeah, that's everything I watched.
So, since we last filmed, I watched From Dusk Till Dawn. I really, really loved the first half.
Yeah.
And then it just fell off. I really did not know what to expect for this movie going into it because the director, Robert Rodriguez, has directed Sin City, which is a Frank Miller comic book, Alita Battle Angel, the original Spy Kids, Sharkboy and Lava Girl, Spy Kids 3D, Spy Kids 2, the other Sin City movie, and the remake Spy Kids. And I guess he also directed the Book of Boba Fett. So he's done a lot of just random stuff.
Yeah.
So I had no idea what to expect.
And could you imagine going from Spy Kids to Sin City?
Or From Dusk Till Dawn?
Yeah.
So the first half of this movie is just a Tarantino movie. Except the story is linear. The story is just told at once, not all over the place. So the first half is just a Tarantino film, which is amazing. And then it turns into the worst version of Sinners. I didn't realize how much like inspiration Sinners took from this movie.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of weird to see like Ryan Coogler watching this movie, the director of Sinners, Ryan Coogler, watching it and just going, I can make this better. Because Sinners was fantastic. This movie, I was so like, it was just disappointing, even though it has a really good cast. And like the characters were really cool and I liked them until, yeah. Then I watched Challengers, which is directed by Luca Guadagnino, came out last year. I kind of pushed it off because I don't really care about tennis. And then I watched the first half because I thought I was going to be able to watch it on the layover. And I watched about an hour, a little over an hour. And then I told you, I was like, I don't care about this movie. I just don't care about tennis. And then the movie ended. And I was like, okay, that was really good. I liked it a lot. I really enjoyed it. It's the story's like told over one tennis match. But then it the three characters that are involved, it like shows their history together and it turns the match into a story, which was really cool and interesting. And I would kind of wonder if like a boxing movie that was done like this would be cool. Like, could you imagine if like Southpaw was told like this, where it was the last fight? Have you seen Southpaw?
Yes.
So where it's like the final fight, but during it, it would cut to like what happened to, what's his name? Jake Gyllenhaal. Wow. That was bad. Jake Gyllenhaal's character, like his story.
Mm-hmm.
Like if it just kept flipping back and forth. Or yeah. Actually probably a better example for that would be like Warrior, where the final fight in Warrior, but it keeps cutting back
mm-hmm.
to the whole movie. I wonder if that, I think that would be a really interesting
yeah,
film cool. idea. But I really enjoyed it. Definitely will be rewatching it. I gave it 4 stars, but it'll probably go up to 4.5 if I watch it again. Then I watched Glass Onion because I'd seen Glass Onion before, but it like really passively and I just didn't really care. And then we said on the second movie news we did, I think, that they're doing another Knives Out spinoff, mm-hmm. and I was not really excited for that. I think this one is strictly about Daniel Craig's character story. And then after watching both of them basically back to back, I'm really excited now. I really like Glass Onion. It was really campy, and I really like the characters a lot more in this one than in Knives Out. But the purpose of the characters in Knives Out that you weren't really supposed to like them.
Mm-hmm.
But this one, I really liked it a lot. I liked Knives Out more, but it's good. Then I watched Paul Thomas Anderson's Licorice Pizza. Did not like this movie. He's most known for like There Will Be Blood, Punch Drunk Love, Magnolia, movies like The Boogie Nights. So he's got a pretty decent filmography, but I did not enjoy this movie at all.
I could have told you that by the title, to be honest.
It was, I just hate this style of movie, and this is why I didn't like My Own Private Idaho that much. I feel like if My Own Private Idaho was told better, was more coherent, mm-hmm. than the movie, I would like that movie a lot more. But this, it was just like stuff was happening with no explanation, and it was just kind of boring. I did not like any of the main characters. Characters would just show up and then leave without explanation. Like they just literally just disappear, mm-hmm. for no reason. Like what Bradley Cooper was in it, he just kind of disappears. Skylar DeSanto, he just disappears. Sean Penn, he just disappears. There's no like clarity over time. Like he's supposed to be 15. Like the main character is supposed to be 15, but then we see him in school one time, but it's obvious there's no way that this could have taken place like over a summer or anything.
Yeah.
I really just didn't like it. And then I watched probably one of like my favorite movies now, and I will definitely be buying the Criterion for this. Michael Mann's 1981 Thief.
Mm-hmm.
I loved this movie. It was weird because I felt the same way how I felt about Lehane when I watched it the first time. Like it first time I did try to watch this movie, I was on a car ride after we were working on Granddad's mm-hmm. property, and I was just tired and I started like just dozing off, and I'm not really, this is kind of a hot take, I'm not really that big of a Michael Mann fan. Mm-hmm. Like he done Heat, that's like definitely his most notable. He did Ferrari, which I liked, but I just didn't really care about it that much. Did Manhunter, Public Enemies. I just wasn't that big of a fan. And then this movie was like, wow. But I like started it just like Lehane. I was like, this is okay. Mm-hmm. I don't really see what's like that special about it. And then it got closer to the end, and I was like, this is a pretty good movie. Then it ended. I was like, that was a great movie. And about 15 minutes later, I was like, this movie was incredible. This is a fantastic movie. The soundtrack, it's more of a score, but
yeah,
it was definitely up there with my top like 5, maybe even probably top 10.
Mm-hmm.
The movie poster is my favorite movie poster of all time. I really just like this movie, and it's how I said From Dusk Till Dawn is a bad Sinners. This movie is more like the better version of Drive, because I feel like Drive took a lot of inspiration, like how the music sounds and like kind of what makes you feel the character. It's a more modernized version. It's kind of like taking Baby Driver and this movie. And well, Baby Driver and Thief, and then you get Drive.
Mm-hmm.
Really enjoy that movie. Highly recommend it. Then I watched Sergio Leone's Fistful of Dollars. I'm gonna watch the Silver Dollar trilogy again because I just bought a DVD of all three of them. So might as well. And then last night, I really wanted to watch a movie. Didn't know what to watch. And I didn't want to watch anything that like I had to like, I didn't want to watch anything new because I was too tired to like really like lock in. Mm-hmm. So I watched Grown Ups. I think
it's a solid movie.
Yeah. So Grown Ups is on my list for the best worst movies. Mm-hmm. It's just a fun movie. Like nothing really happens. It's like just watching family friends go on vacation.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah. It was pretty much a good description of it. I like that movie a lot. So
I also like Grown Ups too.
Yeah.
I like Grown Ups too a lot. Not a lot of people like that. I mean,
I think it's fun.
Rob Schneider wasn't in it and it was a little weird because I didn't like explain it or anything. And he was like one of the best parts of the first movie.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, maze.
Put some maize on it.
Tobo Cop. I want to get chocolate wasted. The kids in the movie are really funny, too.
Yeah.
Because I like the lines they get when, like, the little kid is looking at Salma Hayek and is like, I want her milk.
Yeah. That's also, so funny.
Also, watching this movie, the whole time I just couldn't unsee Salma Hayek putting her foot in Tarantino's mouth.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Because that, like, the whole time throwing this movie, I was like, she played a weird character in From Dusk Till Dawn.
Yeah, she did. Yeah.
And now
it was very strange.
I think every movie she's in from now on is kind of ruined for me.
Yeah.
That was disturbing. I did not like that scene. What was worse is I was like, this is a weird movie to watch in the middle of an airport.
Yeah. That's how I felt about Blink Twice.
Yeah, that was...
It was a weird...
I felt weird about watching Blink Twice on the plane.
Yeah. It was strange. All right. Well, you ready to get into this?
Mm-hmm.
All right. So how did... I think we had a different approach to picking out our movies. So what was your approach?
I kind of just went into like movies that either like aren't very well known because they weren't like received well, mm-hmm. either critically, the box office, or at DVD sales, Blockbuster sales. So I just kind of picked because I like bad movies. Like a lot of bad movies, which I feel like everyone does. But so like the one that immediately came to mind when I thought of this was Hollow Man.
Okay. Yeah.
I have seen this movie. Actually, the three movies that I've probably seen the most are going to be on this list. Grown Ups. Then the second one is Hollow Man. And then I'll say the third one in a little bit. Because
mm-hmm.
we both will probably... You think that it is a pretty critically good movie. But I don't think it is.
Okay.
But Hollow Man is very... It's a very 2000s version of the reinterpretation of The Invisible Man.
Yeah.
And I really enjoyed that movie. Growing up, I was just like... I want to just watch this movie all the time.
Mm-hmm.
That was one that I always just watched ever since I was like, I don't know how old, but it's got a stacked cast. Like it's got Josh Brolin, Kevin Bacon. What's her name? That was the Karate Kid's girlfriend. Starts with an S.
No idea.
I'll find it later, but it's a movie that I really enjoy. I like how I think it's one of the better versions of like turned mad scientist.
Yeah.
It's the visuals are really.
Want to make a difference in your community, but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously. Your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend or family member or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
Good considering their like the time or whatever. Like the scene where he's like turning invisible and then you see like his all of his muscle and then you see his nervous system, all his blood vessels.
Mm-hmm.
It's very like accurate.
Yeah, I thought it was really good. That particular scene was actually really, really cool to watch.
But the reason why I think it did not do well Because, I mean, it kind of did. It was just kind of, it's kind of something that got pushed under the rug. Like, it's kind of become forgotten. Like, Scary Movie 2 is a spoof of...
Yeah.
It's partially a spoof of Hollow Man and The Exorcist.
Mm-hmm.
But it, the reason why I think it's kind of gone bad is because it was... The first two acts are really good. Solid, amazing.
Mm-hmm.
But then the third act, once it gets to the final, like, battle, I guess.
Yeah.
It was a bad choice of words, but very poor choice of words. But the... It just... It switches perspective from Kevin Bacon to everyone else on, yeah, like, his team. And then it just kind of makes you forget about the character. Kind of makes you forget, like, everything that you've known.
Mm-hmm.
And completely just, like, overwrites him with stereotypical, like, slasher villain.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then it just... The how it ends kind of just leaves a bad taste in your mouth, and it completely overrides the first two acts, and it kind of makes it forgettable. Like, it kind of makes you forget how good it was, and then it just completely takes a 3.5 to, like, maybe even a 4-star, pushing a 4-star movie to 2, which really sucks. But, like, it was cool and it was good.
Yeah.
But the perspective change, like, because the whole movie you see, like, what he's thinking about, and then it's just like, now he's tracking you down is what it feels like, and it's just weird.
Yeah. Yeah, I can see that. I watched that because you watched that. You watched that movie quite a bit.
Yeah.
A lot.
A lot.
Yeah. A lot.
But, like, watched it so much that the DVD got scratched in the DVD player.
Yeah. But the first time I watched
it... I've seen it twice, like, this year.
Have you really?
I watched it, and then, like, the next... A few days later, I watched Fight Club, and then Aiden and I watched both.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. No, I definitely agree that that should be on our list, because
I love the introduction song is so good. Like, it's very much like Dexter, and I feel like Dexter took inspiration from it, because it's like,
yeah.
And then it's so cool. And then, like, his character has, like, a lot of interesting quirks that are, like, shown more in, like, critically acclaimed films, like, like, his shtick is coffee and Twinkies. Mm-hmm. Like, that's how he, like, he's, like, inspired by, like, great minds.
Yeah.
And he's like, Galileo never slept. I think he said Galileo. Or Da Vinci never slept or something like that. And then, like, every time he, like, he's kind of trying to think of what to do, he, like, looks up, and he has looks up. And then has, like, a poster that says, you should be working.
Yeah.
And he has, like, a lot of depth to his character.
Yeah.
Like, even how he drives, the music he listens to, it just adds to his character.
Yeah.
It's just really good up until the third act.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's still worth watching, though.
It is really.
I will say, all the movies that I'm mentioning, I do think that they are mostly worth watching. Second one, don't watch it.
Okay.
Not related. Like, really at all.
Yeah. Yeah.
None of those same characters are in it.
Okay. So, the way I kind of approached this was, I looked at my letterbox, and I haven't rated everything on my letterbox.
Mm-hmm.
So, I just looked at movies that I really, really like, but I know they're bad for a number of different reasons. And then I kind of looked at what other people rated it. And if it was mostly 3 and under, that's the one I picked. So for my first one, we actually both really like this movie, but it's Spaceballs.
I was going to say Spaceballs. Spaceballs isn't, like, received well.
No.
I was going to say spoofs. I think we can easily just rattle off a bunch of spoofs.
Mm-hmm.
Superhero movie. That movie is hilarious.
The movie is really, really good.
That movie
good.
Is so funny. These blades can cut through diamonds.
Yes.
I'm not wearing any diamonds. Or, like, how did you get that cut? I met a girl on Craigslist. How did you get that bruise?
I met a guy on Craigslist. Yeah. No, I think Drake Bell did a really good job in
that
movie.
We got people who can run through walls.
Yeah.
We got people who think they can run through walls.
Yeah, I think most spoof movies are really enjoyable, but I could definitely see a large part of audiences hating spoofs.
Yeah.
So, like, Spaceballs is pretty much like a spoof of A New Hope.
Yeah. And it's so, and there's, like, some Star Trek elements, and then, like,
yeah,
Starfighter or maybe Alien.
Yeah.
But it's so funny.
Yeah, it is really, really funny. And we watched it recently.
Yeah, it is just so, it's so, like, iconic. Like, the, like, rewind it. No, this is live. Or no, fast forward. This is live. Like, right now? Yes, right now.
Yeah.
And, like, I quote that all the time, like, if, like, we're filming something, like, with my friends, I'm like, oh, can we go forward? No, this is live. What?
Yeah.
Or what he's like, what's your name? Major Asshole. What's your name? Major Asshole. I'm surrounded by assholes. It's so funny.
Yeah. And I think if you are a Star Wars fan and you don't like this movie, there's something wrong.
Yeah.
Because it does take a lot of elements from A New Hope.
As big as mine.
Yeah.
Like that fight scene and he kills the camera crew.
Yes.
It's so funny.
Or when
they go into like hyper thing.
Yes.
And they're like hanging off.
Yeah. No. And then like Barf is like a spoof of Chewie.
And he's just eating like tubs of like chicken and stuff.
Yeah.
And then their like space vehicle is just a Winnebago RV.
Yes.
It's so funny.
And it's directed by Mel Brooks, and Mel Brooks did such an amazing job.
It's so funny when they're like looking for the Spaceballs VHS.
Yeah.
And it's just his movies.
Yes.
Like it's Blazing Saddles.
Yeah.
It's so funny.
There's really not much to say about this movie other than like it is so funny.
And they did ask, Mel Brooks did ask George Lucas for his like permission to make this movie.
Yeah.
And he said, you can just do not make Luke. So that's why there's no like spoof of Luke.
Also, there's no, he couldn't have Lone Star dressed as Han Solo.
Yeah.
So instead he dressed him like Indiana Jones.
Yeah. And it's just like the vacuum cleaner thing was just hilarious.
And I think visually it looks pretty good.
The opening shot where it's like 5 minutes of just the underside of the ship.
Yes.
Just going for what feels like forever.
Yeah.
That's what kind of reminded me in Superman of the garage door.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's just so slow.
That's mostly a spoof off of like Alien, because that's how Alien starts, is the exact same shot.
Yeah. Yeah. I also liked when the king is like requesting Lone Star to save the princess, and he's just like, also he seems more worried about the car that he got, or the ship that he got her. He's like, it's a brand new Mercedes. And it's just so funny the way he just like delivers that line, and a lot of these lines are just so good and so funny. Yeah, I really enjoy this movie, and I could see a lot of people hating it, but like if you're a Star Wars fan and you don't like this movie, there's something wrong.
Oh, when he's like, I don't think they say beam me up, but they might, when he's like, beam me up, Scotty.
Yeah.
And then it doesn't work. And he's like, fine, I'll just walk there myself. And it's just one doorway.
Yeah. It's like literally right away. There. Yeah. Yeah.
Such a funny movie.
Yeah.
I guess I'll just go into my third movie that I've definitely seen the most, that I think is critically not great, but is just you, Mikey, and I love this movie. And I feel like they already gave it away. It's called Never Back Down.
Yes. I actually didn't put that on here for some reason.
I like the first two, and the second one, not that much. Third one, couldn't watch it. Fourth one, I'm not even going to try.
Yeah.
But that movie's just so 2008.
It is.
And it's the soundtrack.
My favorite soundtrack. It is my favorite soundtrack of all time. I have
every song on that soundtrack.
Yes.
On my playlist. And that's the movie that got me into like doing martial arts and then getting into MMA.
Yeah.
And this movie, every time I watch this movie, I can quote the whole thing. Like line for line, bar for bar.
Yeah.
It's so funny. Like the opening shot the opening shot, I will say, is not, does not do the movie justice, because then it just feels like a football movie.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
And he's like, shame to hear about your old man. What you say?
Yeah.
Or when he's like, he's like, I'm not going to come visit you at Disney World. And then he's like, who's going to keep you out of trouble? Who's going to get you into it?
Yeah. The dialogue in it is really, really good. I like,
if you want to be the best, you got to take out the best.
Yes. The guy that played Ryan is actually in Tom Clancy's Without Remorse.
Oh.
Yeah. I was like, oh, cool. And then he died. I was like, within the first 20 minutes of the movie. But no, that is definitely my favorite soundtrack of all time. Every song in it is so good. The story itself, like, it's a little bit far-fetched.
Yeah.
But
considering they're high schoolers and he becomes like the greatest MMA fighter within like 3 months.
Yeah.
Also, Amber Heard's in it. So.
Yeah. Like Mexico?
Like my parents smoke too much weed.
Yeah.
Or the Shield of Achilles. Surprisingly pretty good foreshadowing.
Yeah.
Also, Evan Peters was in it. And he was pretty funny. Do all of you have houses this big? This is our guest house.
Yeah. No, Evan Peters does such a good job. And I think I definitely saw him being like the character that is in all of them. Yeah. Because he's definitely in the second one.
Yeah. He lost a lot of weight.
Yeah, he did. And I would love for them to do another one about the first one. not a continuation of like different characters and stuff like that. But I also think the I don't know if you know this, but in the final like tournament battle.
Want to make a difference in your community, but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously, your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend, or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
Fights, there was a clip that went viral from that. It was when Ryan's fighting the dude that has, he just does a lot of flips and tricks and stuff. And then all of a sudden he just punches him and knocks him out. That clip went viral and a lot of people saw, like thought it was real. Like they didn't realize it was from a movie.
What?
Yeah, somebody showed it to me and I was like, oh my God, there was like this tournament or whatever and there was somebody fighting and
the beatdown?
Yeah, and he showed it to me and I was like, are you talking about the Never Back Down movie and about it has the beatdown tournament? And he's like, what? And I was like, go watch this movie. And then he watched it and he was like, oh my God, I didn't realize that this was in a movie. I thought it was real life. And I was like, yeah, no.
The only issue I do have with like the soundtrack is it plays Crank That by Soulja Boy.
Mm-hmm.
But the whole soundtrack is basically like a rock soundtrack.
Yeah.
Except for Stronger by Kanye, isn't it? But for some reason, which I did notice in Boyhood, they play the same song, but it's Crank That with just like a kick drum to make it sound like it's a rock song. And it's just weird. But okay. It kind of works in the movie.
Yeah.
And it has this like weird guitar thing in the background.
Yeah.
But like it is, this is kind of stupid, but before like every wrestling season, I would watch this movie like the day before my first practice of the season.
I think I'm due for a watch on that one.
Yeah, I watched it last year, like November.
Yeah.
I feel like I watch this movie like every 6 months.
I do too. It's been about a year since I've watched the movie, but
it's such a
good soundtrack. It is a really, really good movie.
Oh, and it's got, I don't know how to pronounce his name, Dijmon Hansu as John Roca.
Mm-hmm.
John Roca.
John Roca. Yeah. Yeah. That was like the first role that he did where I was like, man, this guy's good.
Yeah. He's great. He's been in so much that I feel like not a lot of people, he's the guy that you recognize in a movie. I remember like the second movie I saw him in was Tarzan when we go see it. 2014. Yeah. Tarzan.
And he was also in Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah, he was in Gladiator, mm-hmm. Captain Marvel, Quiet Place. Day One, Quiet Place Quiet Place Two, How to Train Your Dragon Two, Aquaman, Shazam, Black Adam, Constantine, Gran Turismo, The King's Man, Furious 7, Shazam 2, Rebel Moon, Tarzan. The list just keeps going and going.
He's definitely in a lot. What's the main character?
Jake Tyler? Sean Ferris?
Yeah, Sean Ferris.
I always get his just like Tom Cruise. Like, he looked like a cousin of Tom Cruise.
Yeah, when he's been my pick for Nightwing for such a long time. Now he's a little old. But I think it could still work. But I really wanted him to be Nightwing for the longest time. And he's done every time I see him pop up in, like, a show, I'm like, oh. And then
Upon a Time in Hollywood thing, where he's like, oh.
Yeah. Yeah. No.
But it is such a cheesy 2008 movie.
Yeah, you want some gloves, huh?
Guess what? That stuff on the internet is true.
Yeah,
it's just
Ryan's dialogue is really cheesy.
Yeah,
so like, cheesy.
Do you want to be the best? You got to take out the best. It's like, or when Evan Peters is like, come on, man, I don't have any headgear.
Yeah, yeah. That scene right there is a little uncomfortable to watch.
Carb loading, smart.
Yeah, it was so good. Everything about that movie is just so good. All right, my next one. I think we talked about this, is Batman and Robin.
Yeah, I think we can include Batman and Robin and Batman Forever.
Yeah.
Both Schumacher movies. both directed by Joel Schumacher.
Yeah.
Rest in peace.
But so
they're so campy and cheesy, like the bat credit card.
Yes.
The
bat nipples.
Okay. One of my friends pointed this out in Batman Forever, and it is so weird every time I've seen it once or twice since then. And it just takes me out every time. There's one point where it's like just silent, and then the Riddler screams joygasm.
Oh, yeah.
It's so weird.
Yeah.
But the movie's just, they're so like charming. I love, they just always do the Dutch angles.
Yes.
Those weird like rising shots with like Dutch angles. The suits, Mr. Freeze.
Yeah. Arnold Schwarzenegger as Mr. Freeze was such an interesting casting choice, but I think it worked well for this movie. His dialogue is super so bad, and it was really, really bad.
Like the movie just starts, like, and then they just pull out ice skates from their boots.
Yeah,
it's so stupid.
But I love the opening.
Uma scene. Thurman is Poison Ivy.
Yeah, I mean the level of rogues in that movie. I mean, it is
Two-Face, Riddler, Bane.
Yeah,
Poison
like
Ivy.
Both of those movies, like the rogues gallery of villains, is so good.
They're not very well done. Like the scene is so bad and stupid, but it's at the third act of Batman Forever when Riddler and Two-Face are just like swapping the brain thing.
Yeah, going
it's
back
so
and forth.
Stupid.
Yes.
But I loved like all the scenes with Tommy Lee Jones, like his lair. Yeah. So stupid. The character is just completely wrong, but I don't care. These movies are so charming.
They are really, yeah. Like they're super enjoyable, and like I think now I've seen a lot more people say that like it's such a bad movie, but it is so enjoyable to watch. I think Uma Thurman's Poison Ivy, I think out of all the rogues, she did the best.
Her and Jim Carrey throw me off both every time I see these movies, because I see George Clooney and then I'm like, okay, I can realize that this is an older movie. Val Kilmer didn't really take me out of it. I'm like, okay, this is 80s.
Mm-hmm.
But then when I see Jim Carrey, I'm like, this just doesn't feel right. It's just weird.
Yeah.
And Uma Thurman. Because every time I see Uma Thurman, I'm just like, Tarantino.
Yeah.
But then Jim Carrey, I'm like, Dumb and Dumber? Truman Show?
Yeah.
What are you doing here?
And
but like, he did really good.
I think for Batman and Robin, the two things that like really just take me out of the movie is one, George Clooney is Bruce Wayne, Batman. Like, out of all the people that have played Batman, he's definitely the like bottom of the list.
Hot take, Val Kilmer has my favorite Batman voice.
He does have a really good Batman
voice.
Because
his Bruce Live voice action. Is high-pitched. Yeah. His voice is high-pitched-ish when he's Bruce.
Mm-hmm.
And when he's Batman, he's just normal.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, it really feels like himself when he's Batman, and then he really does feel like he's putting on a disguise when he's Bruce.
Yeah.
Which was very surprising for this campy, like, stupid movie.
Yeah. The other thing that takes me out of the movie of Batman and Robin specifically is Bane. Because
the muscle suit so looked weird.
It did, but it, like they had something. They had something, and then they made him stupid.
Yeah. Like, he was just,
yeah.
I pick things up and I put them down.
Yes. Like they made him stupid. And like the next time we see Bane, I want the Venom stuff to make him bigger. And like you see the green veins. Like I want that.
I hope that he's smart again. Because
that's what, and that's another, I want him smart.
Like I think the perfect adaptation of him outside of like comics is the Batman Arkham Origins game,
because
mm-hmm. he is a genius.
Yes.
And he's like constantly just ahead.
Yeah.
And then they have an explanation for why he becomes stupid, which wasn't bad. It was a pretty good explanation, but he's the point, because they make Bane the brawn and then they make like the Riddler or other characters the brain.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing that makes Bane like such a great villain is that he's the brain and the brawn, significantly better than Batman, but because Batman's just got that thing on him, he just always wins.
Yeah. Yeah. But overall, Batman and Robin is such a bad movie, but it is so enjoyable to watch. Like, I don't care that it, like, the dialogue
Nightwing
is so bad.
The cape. I like that. Oh, the suit up scenes.
The suit up
so
scenes.
So stupid, but they're so good. The Batmobile's amazing.
Yeah.
Alfred.
He was such Alfred. A really good Alfred.
I love the slide thing where they're just.
Yes. Yeah.
Going on the slide.
Yeah. I think the suit up scenes are one of my favorites. Mainly like when they start grabbing gadgets.
Yeah. I like that.
Those are cool. And then
I love the motorcycle scene in Batman Forever.
Mm-hmm.
But what the thing that takes me out is Dick Grayson looks older than Val Kilmer.
Yes.
So it's like, huh?
Yeah. And that's in Batman Forever, he's like pretty much like they want it to be that Dick Grayson is a child still, but he's like clearly an adult.
He has wrinkles on his face.
Yeah. He's clearly an adult. Like, what does he need adult supervision for? Like,
oh, and then they just threw in Batgirl. And
I think she did. I think she did a really good job as Batgirl. Honestly,
she did pretty good for like the 5 seconds that she was in. Also, hot take: I like all of the suits.
I do too.
Honestly, Val Kilmer's suit. Don't know if it's top three, but it is definitely at least top five for like my favorite suits.
Okay.
Because yeah, it looks like the first suit in Batman 1989. I hate the Batman Return suit. I don't like the blocky.
Yeah, like the abs. The abs I don't like.
I don't like the chest and the abs, but I like the first one, and I feel like the Val Kilmer suit is just a better version of that.
Yeah.
Also, he doesn't have to like lean all the way back to look up.
Yeah.
Okay, I think we're ready to go into the next one. Okay. I'm just going to quickly say this one. I don't think you're going to agree. I enjoy Spawn. It's so bad. It is terrible. Terrible movie, but I kind of like it.
Yeah, no, I don't like it. I don't like it.
I definitely probably will watch it every other year.
Yeah, okay.
But it's not one that I'll watch all the time, but it feels like, it kind of feels like Hollow Man for some reason, but it also feels like Blade.
Yeah.
It feels like Hellboy. I don't like how he just uses guns the whole movie.
Mm-hmm.
And then at the end, they're like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
And he's like, what? And he's like, oh, you can literally make...
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Like anything. And he's like, oh, got it. It's really cheesy, really bad, but...
Yeah. All right, my next one, I don't know if you've watched this, but The Master of Disguise?
Mm-mm.
No? Oh my gosh. This movie, I've watched it so many times growing up, and it is so enjoyable. I might rewatch it sometime to see if it still holds up as like a really bad, but like really funny movie. So it's pretty much, it's got Dana Carvey, he's the main thing.
Dad got upset that I forgot Dana Carvey's name when we did the trivia.
Yeah. This movie is... interesting. It's a spy movie, and it's like they have this organization type thing in the movie where they are masters of disguise. They could literally dress up as anybody and or anything, like not just people but like things, and it just kind of like
skinwalkers.
No, like it's clearly fake, but like everybody in the movie like thinks it's that. And then there are times when they dress as people. And it like it's the actual person that they're dressed as playing that character. And then like the take off the mask and like the CGI looks really crappy, but it's really funny. And then like Dana Carvey's just so stupid in this movie. Like, his character is just like he doesn't get it, but like ends up and then like his dad is a part of this organization and like he's disappointed in his son and stuff like that. Like there's a part in there that like I always reference. It's when they go to this place called the Turtle Club. And so Dana Carvey's character dresses up as a turtle. And even like the makeup has like his top lip is pointed down like a turtle. And so he's wearing like this big shell of a suit. And he makes somebody mad in the Turtle Club. And he's like, am I not turtly enough for the Turtle Club? And then like he can... go into his shell suit and like he's trying to get punched and he's going in and he's coming out and it's so campy and it's so funny, but like you should definitely watch it. It's so funny.
I when you said you dressed up as like a turtle, it reminded me for some reason of the Karate Kid when he just dresses up as a shower.
Oh yeah.
But then
yeah.
Who came up with that? But so I think okay, these next three I'm gonna say together because their tonality and the how they look is very similar ish.
Mm-hmm.
Scooby-Doo 1 and 2.
Okay.
And okay, I haven't seen this movie in a long, long time, but I used to really like it growing up, the live-action Dragon Ball movie. I used to like that movie. Are you disappointed? Yep.
Why is that on your list?
I haven't seen it in probably like at least 10 years, but...
Like, clearly, that is the one of... It literally was listed as the worst movie ever made.
Yeah.
Until, I think, Snow White beat it recently.
It's got, like... I like that bad fighting style that it has in it. Because, like, Kill Bill does it, but Kill Bill does it so much better.
Yeah.
But, like, it's just a bad movie. And I feel like it's kind of...
One of the things that makes it so bad is, like, the lack
of... I think of how bad it is. Because it's so bad, I like it. I don't know why.
You're so wrong for that.
I need to rewatch it. I feel like I will definitely hate it.
No, but, like, you should never rewatch that movie ever again. Because, it, like, I was never, like...
The hair huge... is terrible. Everything about it is just bad.
Yeah, but it's also, like, you're taking an anime where everything is clearly not going to be real, and then you're putting it into a real setting.
The movie feels like the movie Echo, partially.
Okay.
Or the TV show Greatest American Hero.
Yeah.
He just, like, discovers the Dragon Balls.
Yeah.
None of the movie makes sense.
Yeah, none of it. But also, like, the...
It is memorable.
Like, I'll the characters... That,
I can remember a lot of it.
The characters, like, I just felt like they put no effort into whatsoever.
I don't remember the third act. I remember mostly the first act. Because it also felt like... Ooh, another movie that I forgot to mention that is on here. I will say next. But, like, I'm just going to skip it. Because it also... It's on par with, like, The Last Airbender.
Yeah.
I did like that movie when it came out. Because the movie idiot. Sucked. They're bad.
I'm not even a huge, like, anime Dragon Ball fan. Like, Mikey is, but...
I watched Dragon Ball only with Mikey.
Yeah.
I've probably seen a total of 20 episodes. And him and I played every Dragon Ball game together.
You're literally... See, and that's another thing about the Dragon Ball games. Like, that
those are me. Cool.
It's literally the same game, just redone. So you're spending more money playing the exact same story.
But the fighting... I never played the story. I'm talking about, like, the duel.
Okay,
the fighting part. That stuff is cool because it's like Injustice or Mortal Kombat, except it's like a 3D thing.
Yeah.
And, like, you can move around.
Yeah.
The Naruto games were just like that, and I played them because Mikey bought them.
Yeah.
So those were fun.
Those are fun, yeah. But, like, I know that the Dragon Ball movie is just so, so, so bad.
I think... So I'm just going to go into Scooby-Doo.
Scooby-Doo's fantastic.
Scooby-Doo.
Scooby-Doo? Scooby-Doo 2?
Scooby-Doo is... It's not memorable at all. Because I thought the first one was the second one for some reason. Because last time we watched it, I was like,
yeah.
Well, I thought this was the second.
Okay, yeah, because the first one is when they go to the island.
I don't know if the second one is... But the first one, I found out this out recently, was written by James Gunn.
Yeah.
And he was, like, in charge of Scooby's character design.
Yeah.
But that movie's so funny. And just bad. Or, like, the scene, or the interview, I don't know if you've seen it, where the girl that played Daphne is, like, it wasn't a girl's cartoon or a boy's cartoon. It was this one. And it was just, like, talking about, like, how it was so intellectually profound and how it was ahead of its time. And then it cuts to Freddie Prinze Jr. And he just goes... It was a show about a talking dog.
Yeah, there was also another interview that they did. Freddie Prinze Jr., I like him a lot. I have huge respect for him and the things that he's done, and especially in, like, horror, but also, like, WWE, because he used to write for WWE. And so, like, he runs a podcast that is about wrestling. But there was an interview that he did for that movie where I think the interview said something about, like, there only being four of them right there. And then he's like, well, Scooby's not real. And then the interviewer just kind of realizes, like, yeah, that was something that was a stupid thing to say. But I always feel like I watch the first one more often than the second one. But I think the second one is better.
That's fair.
Yeah.
I think the first one has better moments, except for Scrappy-Doo.
Yeah.
I like the whole thing where they go down into that tunnel thing and then, like, the triangle trap and then, like, all the meat thing.
Yeah.
I think that part is just so...
Yeah, I think what
a Spooky Island, is that what it's called?
Something like that, yeah.
I've seen people, they started making a lot of, like, Spooky Island t-shirts.
Yeah, Matthew Lillard did such a good job of Shaggy, too.
When he auditioned, he kept, like, hitting himself and then, like, screaming or something like that. He kept full-on screaming to, like, mess up his voice.
Yeah, I like the second one more because it has a lot of callbacks to the cartoons of, like, the different characters.
It was like they tried to combine... It was like they tried to take a lot of inspiration from Ghostbusters. It was just really, it's just an enjoyable movie.
Yeah.
This next movie we talked about the other day, Abduction, with Taylor.
Oh, okay, Rotten. Yeah, yeah.
So this movie, I feel like not a lot of people watched.
No. It definitely didn't do well.
No, it's it feels like it was generated, even though it came out in 2011. It's got Tyler Lautner in it. It's just like a bad... It's like, imagine if Jason Bourne was a teenager.
Yeah.
And they, like, whoever wrote it watched too much Twilight.
It was such a weird... Like, the story itself and, like, the base of it is just so strange. Like, it definitely does not make any type of sense. But it is a really good movie.
I enjoyed it, but it is really just not that good.
Yeah. The fight scenes are pretty cool.
Yeah. Okay. This one, I really do like a lot. This is the End.
Okay. Yeah, that's
people don't like this movie. I can see why people don't like this movie.
There's a few uncomfortable parts to it.
There's a lot of uncomfortable parts to it. But apparently, so Emma Watson, her character has
I knew you were going to say this.
Yeah, so Emma Watson has a decent-sized role in this movie. Not really. She was supposed to have a bigger role until... My chair's messed up. She was supposed to have a bigger role until she, like... And she agreed to the movie after what they pitched her. And then she read the script and was like, I don't want to be a part of this.
Yeah.
And then... So they kind of, like,
changed her out. Yeah.
So if you don't know what This Is the End is about, it's Seth Rogen, James Franco...
Comedian.
Not Daniel Craig. Or Craig Robinson, Jonah Hill... Did I already say Seth Rogen?
Yes.
Jay Baruchel. I don't know how to pronounce his name.
Mm.
He voices Hiccup in How to Train Your Dragon. They're like at James Franco. All the characters are their actors, like their real names. So Seth Rogen and Jay, not even going to attempt his last name. They go to James Franco's house party and then the rapture happens.
Mm.
And then they're all left there because they're bad people. They're just actors. So like they're bad people, so they'd stay. And then the movie's just like they're stuck in his house for like the apocalypse.
Yeah.
But so apparently they came up with this idea and then they wanted Daniel Craig to be in it.
Mm-hmm.
And he read the script and said it was terrible. And so they rewrote it. And then the movie's just, I think it's really funny. They literally make it like a short film in their house about Pineapple Express 2.
Yeah.
Just hilarious. Danny McBride is a funny character.
So good.
Visually, like the visual effects are pretty good, surprisingly. Yeah. So like there's a scene where they try to go to like their neighbor's house for food supplies, and then there's just giant demon thing. And then it was supposed to be practical. And then the house that they went to, they said that they weren't allowed to destroy anything.
Mm-hmm.
And so they were like on set, like, what the hell? And then so they kind of literally...
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
They just winged it and was like, we'll just try to make something with CGI. And then... they weren't allowed to destroy the house. So all the destruction in the house is CG. And the whole thing is, they couldn't do it practically. The whole thing is CG and it looks amazing. Like I thought it was practical and it looks pretty good.
Yeah.
Surprisingly. And then that giant like demon dong.
Yeah.
That was weird.
It was really weird.
Channing Tatum has an interesting cameo.
That's like what the thing I remember the most about that movie.
The thing that I remember,
which I don't want it to be,
Michael Cera's character, what happened to him,
mm-hmm.
is pretty funny. And then there's a weird moment where they literally tell the whole story,
yeah,
at the beginning of the movie, but like it's pretty like underheard,
yeah.
But oh, and then James Franco like kind of mentions a line that there's like a little like box looking thing outside of his house.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, "That's where Channing Tatum lives." Is yeah, weird movie,
yeah.
But I enjoy it a lot. I think it's really funny. Maybe not. I can see why a lot of people don't like it, or a lot of people say it's offensive or really messed up.
Yeah.
But, or the scene where they do the exorcism of Jonah Hill, and then they do the exorcist like text.
Yeah.
Because the extra starts and it's like the exorcism of Reagan, whatever her last name is, and they do the same thing with Jonah Hill. It's so funny when like he's like, the power of Christ compels you, and he goes, "Oh, does it?
Does it really? Does it really?" Yeah.
And then the poor guy, that the movie actually has the world record for the most times a stunt double has been lit on fire.
Oh, really?
So they lit the guy that played Jonah Hill, like his body double, lit them on fire like 8 times. Jeez. But it's a funny movie. Like when they're putting out all their like food supplies, and then he's like, "This is my like Snicker, this is my Milky Way." Mm. And then Jonah Hill's like, "My blood sugar's low." And he goes, "Jonah Hill can have half the Milky Way." And they make jokes about each other's movies. Like Seth Rogen says something, and then Danny McBride's like, "Shut up, go make." He was like, "Shut up, what happened to Green Hornet?"
Oh, yeah.
That movie's on my list. I do really like Green Hornet. Okay. I love that coffee. I want that coffee. I don't really like it. I don't like it as much now. But like Christoph Waltz is in it also, which is weird. And he's like, "Look at my gun. It has 2 barrels. That movie's just so bad. But I do enjoy it. I do want to watch the original Green Hornet.
Yeah.
Whoever was in charge of like Kato's vision thing. Mm-hmm. I saw an interview with him about it, and he had a really interesting like vision for it, and I think it was pretty well done. I think it's an interesting, weird movie. I like it.
All right. So I have Daredevil on here. Ben Affleck's Daredevil.
Okay. That is such a bad movie.
It is really bad. This is definitely like the visual effects and the CGI is so bad. When like he's like, scaling when the buildings.
He's like doing this.
Yes.
With the sticks.
It also has a really good soundtrack as well. Yeah.
Evanescence just playing for no reason.
Yeah,
when Electra is just stabbing bags with her size.
Yeah,
it's so stupid.
Oh, good though. Like I think
it just cuts to it for no reason.
Yeah,
and at the end when Kingpin's like on the ground, like barely not able to stand, and then Ben Affleck just doesn't know what a blind guy looks like, so he's like looking up, like
with his mouth wide open.
And he's like, tell him a blind guy did it.
Yeah.
But like the whole movie, when he has glasses on, he's fine. But when he takes them off, his like eyes roll back.
Yeah.
And he's like, just keeps looking up gradually.
Yeah.
And John Favreau's in it.
Yeah. It is so weird. But I think like definitely a really good comic book suit.
Yeah.
I liked it a lot.
His build's just kind of weird.
Yeah. The mask could have been a little bit better. But
Bullseye is so bad and stupid.
Yeah.
Like the woman like on a plane says nothing and he just like flicks a peanut into her forehead.
And then, or when he does the paperclip thing, and he just kind of moves his fingers like this, and then all of a sudden it's a straight paperclip, and he just does that so fast, and like
his lines makes no stupid.
They're really really stupid. But and then like
when he's like, what's the thing that he says to her when he's like takes off his mask and he just goes stay,
or when he's
bathing in ice baths all night.
Yeah, I think
in like a coffin.
Yeah, I get that, and it makes sense to a degree. It makes sense for the movie because his hearing is so enhanced because he's blind now that he has to drown out all the noise. So like when you're underwater, you don't hear anything, and then like the coffin just seals the deal, literally.
It's just so weird.
Yes, but and then like I just. The fight scene between Elektra and him
on the playground
is so
no one questions it.
Nobody questions it. Everybody's just watching.
Everyone's like, "That's cool." That scene is on par with the Halle Berry like basketball scene.
Yeah,
Catwoman.
Yeah, yeah,
just as bad.
But I really like when he's like when John Favreau when Foggy is he switches out the honey with the mustard and then he puts in a lot of mustard and. Foggy's just kind of looking like, oh my gosh, like I didn't think you were gonna use that much, and then he switches it, and then he's it's so funny, and the movie is really really good, but it's so bad. Like the ending, I think was really done well.
The movie is just so stupid.
It is really stupid, but I like it a lot, and I love the dark tones of it.
It's so like charming.
Yeah,
it's a dumb movie though.
Yeah.
But, so okay, this one I have. I'm just going to include 10 movies in one.
Okay.
All of the Fast and Furious movies. Except past 7. So 8, 9, and X. I'm not going to include those.
Yeah.
I really like the first 7 Fast and Furious movies.
I do too.
Except for 4 and 6. 6 is forgettable. So is 4. That's the only reason I don't like them. Also, 6, the ending scene is a plane on a runway for 20 minutes.
Yeah, they're just on a runway.
The plane is going full speed on a runway for 20 minutes.
Yeah, makes no sense whatsoever. Like
the 6th one's kind of just forgettable.
I could definitely see. Yeah, like you could easily watch them and like be entertained, everything except after 7.
I think Paul Walker's character is like the best part of them. And then the fact that they do like a character switch to the main character, I just didn't like.
Yeah, I don't like Too Fast, Too Furious.
What?
Yeah.
That's my favorite one.
I don't like it.
I love Too Fast, Too Furious.
I don't like it.
Don't worry about it, Co.
Yeah. Wait,
that's not what he says. He says like, yeah. I said, don't worry about it, Co.
Yeah.
It's so bad.
Though, like, the two main characters in Too Fast, Too Furious are really good. And the dynamic between them is really good. But, like, the overall, like, story and just everything. I don't like things that are filmed in Miami for some reason.
Yeah, you hear a weird thing about that.
I don't know. I just think the way everything looks, it takes me out of the movie.
I will say, the issue that people have, where people are like, Fast and Furious isn't about racing anymore. Never was. The first one, they literally, it's a undercover cop, like, starts working at this auto body to, like, arrest these drag race racers that are stealing DVD players or whatever DVD it was
players, yeah.
out of semi trucks.
Yeah.
That is not about racing.
No. The I think second there's one, only like two races in the first one.
Yeah. And then the second three, one maybe? Is that literally kind of like the exact same thing almost.
Yeah.
And then they literally jump a plane, not a plane, they jump a car off a ramp onto a boat. What? And then obviously ejectocito because.
Yeah.
The only one that's about racing is the third one, which I don't like. I like the third one more now. But the first, like, two times I watched it, I hated it.
Tokyo Drift?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the only one about racing.
Yeah.
It's weird. This, like, dude from Alabama?
Something like that, yeah.
Just moves to Japan and then finds out about drifting. And then he just tries to beat this guy drifting.
That's I actually it. Really enjoy that one.
That's a literally lot. It. The only point of, like, his character is because of Han?
Yeah.
Is that his name?
Yeah.
I like Tan's character probably like the most.
Yeah. Yeah.
But then they like leave the movie off with a cliffhanger that you don't find out until 7.
Yeah. What I like about Han's character is I believe the actor in real life, like he quit smoking and then
yeah, now, so like his habit was eating.
Yeah. And then he did that
on like a TV show. His character is on a TV show and then they literally just kept the name and his habit of eating yeah. snacks.
Yeah. It could be a hot take, but I didn't mind the most recent one.
I don't.
The whole entire story was stupid.
I didn't like Hobbs and Shaw.
No, that one.
Although I do like the intro.
Yeah,
the intro is really well done, where they have like the Rock with like the very warm lighting, getting ready in his day, and then Shaw getting ready in like the dark blue lighting, and it's. I saw a meme about that, like. Year-ish 2 years ago where it was like Sony camera users and it's the blue side and then versus Canon people.
Yeah.
And it just like shows like how similar the characters are. But the whole like Terminator thing was weird.
Yeah.
The Rock like jumped off of a building and landed on a guy and was fine.
Yeah. Yeah. For Fast and the Furious 10, everything about the movie was not good, but like I really enjoyed Jason Momoa's character.
I don't like how they went to space in the 9th one.
Yeah, that one was really bad too.
8 and 9 were so forgettable.
Yeah, I watched 8 when I was in the hotel getting ready to, or at MEPS, like getting ready to go to basic training. So like my mind was not on watching a movie, but it was like right there. Yeah. So that one was super forgettable.
It's like every villain becomes like a part of their family.
Yeah.
It's weird. But
and then people come back to life. Like everybody's come back to life.
The first one that I watched was 7 because you asked me to go to the theater to watch with you because no one would go.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay. Didn't know anything about Fast and Furious. Cars don't fly.
Yeah.
And then I was like, I like this movie. And then I went home and they were all on Netflix and I just watched them like a few months later.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
And then they drive a car through a building into another building.
Into another building.
Yeah, it was so weird. But I think the ending of Fast and Furious 7 is probably my favorite because it was such a good like tribute.
I think it was a good tribute to all of them. I feel like they should have ended with 7.
They should have.
They should have ended with 5, actually.
Yeah.
The fifth one was cool because it was like The Italian Job, which is another movie where I feel like it's just been swept under the rug and forgotten. Yeah. But it's literally The Italian Job.
Yeah.
And I think that's when they made that big switch.
They were supposed to.
But like they all made like millions of dollars.
Yeah.
They should have been fine. It was like the Italian Job meets Oceans meets Fast and Furious.
Yeah. And then I Fast and the Furious 10 was supposed to be like the start to the final trilogy. And I was like, it's not a trilogy. Like, no. That's no. Not right. But now they're only doing one more.
That's what I thought about.
And Paul Walker will be in the movie. Like, his brother's going to play him, and then it'll be CGI.
That's what I thought about The Hunger Games. Because they did the first one, and I feel like they did the second one, and then Mockingjay Part 1. And then I was like, you can't do that.
Yeah.
That doesn't make sense. I also feel like that way about Mission Impossible. Like,
yeah.
Dead Reckoning Part 1, and then Final Reckoning.
Yeah. I've seen a couple of the Mission Impossible movies, but like those, that's another one. I do want to sit down and
watch them all. I've seen two or three just like out of place. The cool thing about those, you can just watch them out of order.
Yeah. But like, that's another movie where they just need to stop.
Oh, I feel like, okay, this isn't a bad movie, but some of them are bad in the series. But Jason Bourne, I love those movies.
Yeah. The one with Jeremy Renner is not.
Except for that one.
That one could have been.
I love all of them.
Yeah, I do too.
There was one time, never mind, actually. But those movies are just funny.
Yeah.
Like, okay, well, not funny, but they're fun. The last two are funny. Like, Jesus Christ, it's Jason Bourne. Mm-hmm. That is hilarious.
Yeah.
For some reason. The second to last one was, like, they added more comedy in it for some reason. But the first one, Bourne Identity, great.
Yeah. All right. So I'm going to kind of just mention these, and then we can go from there. So we watched this the other day, Norbit.
I did say that you were going to put this on here.
When I looked on Letterboxd, it did so bad. Everybody rated it so low.
What did they have?
Let's see.
Oh, wait, I can see it.
Okay.
2.3.
Yeah.
But it has a really, like, pretty linear line. Like, it's pretty flat, except for 4.5s. There's not any. No. But, like, it's a pretty steady line. I like Norbit.
It is.
Not as much as you.
It is so funny, but also,
I like Eddie Murphy a lot. Oh, The Nutty Professor. I'll include that with this one.
What I liked about this movie is how Eddie Murphy does a lot in this movie, because he plays Respucia. He plays like his foster.
Isn't it Mr. Wong?
Yeah, Mr. Wong. He plays Mr. Wong, but like his orphanage dad. That's the word I was looking for. Orphanage.
We're definitely gonna have to do more than one episode of these, because I didn't realize how many movies are bad that I like.
Yeah. But like, when he plays Respucia, the fat suit.
Yes,
the fat suit is so accurate.
Really good.
Yes, like it looks
really good. Fat suit
looks so real.
It was,
and then he does such a good job. It's smart what they
do about like the seams, like he's wearing necklaces and like, bracelets. But it's a really good fat suit.
Yes, and it's so funny.
So much better than the one from Avengers Endgame, the one that Thor wears.
Yeah, that was really bad.
That's really bad.
Yeah,
I don't know why people hate this movie so much. I understand because they're like the books or whatever, but Percy Jackson.
Those are good movies.
I like both of them.
Yeah, I wish I would have finished it.
Yeah.
Even though it didn't do well, and there was a lot of that wasn't like super accurate to the books, which I think
super out of order.
Yeah.
I don't like Percy Jackson being 14. I feel like that doesn't really make sense.
Yeah.
But I like how this
The season one of the show, we actually thought it was pretty good
until like the end, the second half of the show, because it was very rushed.
Yeah, it did feel rushed. Hopefully season two does so much better,
because like the whole thing was just him trying to get to Mount Olympus.
Mm-hmm.
And then he finally, they're like, oh, it's right there, and then it just cuts and he's up there.
Yeah,
it was like, it was obvious that there was so much more that they just couldn't do because they were like limited on time.
Yeah,
which is kind of a shame. But also,
I have Uncharted on here.
I don't agree with you on this one.
Okay, but hear me out. So Uncharted, obviously based off of a video game.
Okay, I just got a crazy one for the next.
Okay. I hadn't played the Uncharted games before I watched this movie. So, and now when I watch it, I have played the game, all the games since. And
Really?
When I was in Hawaii.
Oh.
Yeah.
I love those games.
Yeah, pretty much after I watched the movie,
I'm guessing the fourth one is your favorite, because Pirates.
Yeah.
I like the fourth one a lot, but I really like,
I think
Among Thieves, the second one. I really like that one a lot.
Yeah, I mean,
Rafe was the best villain in the fourth one. I like how they like paid homage to the other ones when he's like this is insane. He's like, do you know what's insane? Nathan Drake takes an army to the steps of Shambhala.
Yeah.
And then like talks about all of them, like El Dorado. Those movies are just great. People have been talking about them making another game.
Mm-hmm.
And the movie was in production hell for so long. Like Mark Wahlberg was supposed to be Nathan Drake.
Yeah, but now when they made it. Yeah. So when I watch this movie, I don't think of it as a movie about a game.
I think it's so far diverted that I just kind of think it feels like Red Notice, that movie.
Yeah. But I think it's such a good adventure movie.
I do like the plane sequence.
Yeah.
And then I like Nolan North's cameo when he's like, "What happened to you guys?" And he's like, "Fell out of a car that fell out of a plane." And
yeah.
He's like, "Something like that happened to me once."
Yeah. I think it's a really good movie if you don't think of it as like it's based off of a game. Because obviously if you do that, yeah, it's
terrible. Where's the sequel for this movie?
I don't know. I don't think it did well. It didn't do well because everybody was so mad.
Critically. Well, because the thing that I didn't like is how they're like, "Oh, it's canon to the games." That doesn't make sense.
It doesn't. Not at all.
The stuff with his brother doesn't make sense because it's not the same and it wouldn't fit at all.
Yeah.
And like him, you see how he meets Sully and that's completely different from the games because it's in the third one where you see he's like 14 in like Puerto Rico or like in Brazil or something.
It also, I feel like it took a lot of pieces from the games and just kind of mashed it together into one movie. So, like, it definitely shouldn't be canon. I feel like
they
took
a part from each game.
Yeah.
Except for the fourth one. I don't really think they took
it. I also like Tom Holland and Mark Wahlberg's dynamic.
I feel like Mark Wahlberg was too young to be Sully.
Yes. Yeah.
I feel like they should have chosen a different Sully. Interesting thought. I always thought Sully reminded me of Tom Hanks, even though Tom Hanks played a pilot named Sully.
Yes.
In a movie, but I always thought that Sully's character reminded me of Tom Hanks.
Yeah.
And I was like,
this
would be interesting.
I also don't think I could see Tom Hanks doing that type of movie.
No.
Honestly.
But like his character just reminded me of like his charisma.
Yeah.
Okay, this one, I don't know if you remember this movie, but you and I saw it, I think only once in the theater, but we saw it and then they sent us to the wrong theater. And then we like walked in. We're like, "I guess we came here late." And then we're like, "This is like halfway through the movie."
Oh, yeah.
Jupiter Ascending.
Yes. Yeah.
Weird movie.
It is so weird.
It feels like Aquaman. I feel like Aquaman took inspiration from it for some reason. Like the scene in the house.
Yeah.
Or it also kind of reminded me of I, Frankenstein.
Yeah. It kind of reminded me of the animated movie Treasure Planet.
Okay.
Just based up like the whole space stuff. I didn't think it was a bad movie. I don't really care for Mila Kunis, but
I think
she's fine.
Kind of like an average actor.
Yeah. But I thought it was good. That's actually a pretty good one to have on this list.
A comedy that not a lot of people like, but I enjoyed was Bad Moms.
Yeah, that's a good one. Yeah.
Even though the second one is just kind of weird because it's just a Christmas movie for some reason.
Yeah. Bad Moms Christmas. Yeah. Yeah.
It was, I think they're funny. I like them.
Yeah.
Office Christmas Party. One of the most like favorited comedy Christmas movies. Completely forgotten.
I don't remember that movie.
Exactly. It was weird. It's like the movie everyone like, I'm pretty sure like everyone like loved this movie. Everyone like talked about it. And then I feel like 2 years after the movie came out, no one talked about it. Like Jennifer Aniston, Jason Bateman.
Yep. Okay.
What's his name? T.J. Miller.
Yeah, Jason Bateman is one of my favorites.
It's got a really good cast, and I feel like everyone like thought this movie was funny, and then it just was completely forgotten for some reason.
Yeah, all right.
I liked that movie a lot.
I have Jumper.
Okay.
Forgotten movie.
I'll throw in Chronicle with that.
Yeah.
I feel like they're similar.
They're very similar.
I really like Chronicle.
Yeah. Chronicle is actually really good.
I really enjoyed it, even though the director made Fantastic Four. I recently saw an idea that he had, or the original idea that he had for Fantastic Four, is that Sue was supposed to, like, you'd be able to see, like, her bones, her muscles,
It's
just, like, fading in and out, and, like, it's supposed to be miserable. Johnny was supposed to be, like, a third-degree burn victim all over.
That's so dark.
And then the Thing was supposed to have, like, a bunch of rocks, like, permanently stuck to him so that he looked like a Sloth from the Goonies, basically. Oh, yeah. And then Miles Teller's character had to wear like a bunch of remember when I like broke my arm and I had to wear that like robot thing? Like he was covered in those because if he didn't have them, his body would just be fully limp.
Oh yeah.
He had a really dark version of it that they didn't do, but
yeah.
I really liked Chronicle.
Yeah. Chronicle is good. Jumper is really good.
They tell like a weird story with chronicle about like how he holds the camera, because it's handheld, and by the end of the movie it's very still, and then like you can see like the shot where he's like he's in the gas station and he like leaves, and it shows the security footage, you can see the shot that it was showing was the camera, and it's very just still because to show like how much stronger he's gotten.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting filmmaking, and I feel like it's again like Hollow Man was just really good up until the third act,
yeah,
and then just kind of fell apart for most people, but I think the ending was really like heartfelt.
Yeah, Jumper is, I don't think it did well just because like Hayden Christensen had just come off of Star Wars, and like he received so much backlash from being Anakin that like I felt like he was kind of blacklisted by the audiences.
Mm-hmm.
But Jumper was actually real. I thought the visual effects.
I do like the visual of him like disappearing.
Yeah,
because it reminded me. I think The Boys took inspiration for like Huey when mm-hmm. he teleports.
Yeah,
because it's very much the same.
Yeah,
and I saw breakdown of like how they did it and how they came up with it, and I was like, okay, that makes sense because they're like, if he's teleporting, they didn't want to have like a portal, but like his body is just physically teleporting. And if he were to do that, just completely disappear, it would like rip a hole in like time or whatever.
Yeah.
And so it would immediately collapse on itself.
Yes. I think the story is kind of iffy.
I need to rewatch it again. I don't really remember it that much.
But like, I think the visual effects is what I remember the most about it just being so good. But yeah, I think that's one that's like it's not great. It's not really good either, but like it's enjoyable to watch, and like you can watch it and be fine.
So, okay, I think we can do like one more.
Yeah.
And then I definitely want to do this again because I feel like we can make a few episodes about it.
Oh, yeah.
Because there's so many more.
There is a lot more.
The last one I'll talk about, we watched it the other day. We talked about it on an episode before, Dracula Untold.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
It's a good movie. Like it's really enjoyable. It's really short. It's like an hour, 28 minutes.
Yeah.
But like I feel like everyone has like an understanding that it's a bad movie, but everyone just enjoys it.
Yeah. I like that movie a lot. And I can watch it anytime.
It's a really easy watch also.
Yeah. I kind of wish it would have done well so that we could have gotten the more dark of universe.
I don't know why the movie was cut so short though.
It doesn't
make any sense.
No. But I mean, everybody did a good job in that movie.
Visually, it's really cool.
Yeah, visually, it was so good.
I like the scene at the end with all the coin, the silver coins being thrown around. That was cool.
Yeah, I liked it a lot. That is a good movie.
How it ended reminded me of The Highlander. I think I said that when we talked about this.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just, the costume design is really good.
Yeah.
It's just a...
I like the beginning when there's like the explanation of what's going on,
mm-hmm.
Of Dracula's son.
And then how they like kind of took back the original myth of Dracula, that he was Vlad the Impaler.
Yeah.
I almost said Vlad Untold.
Yeah, almost. Yeah, that's a good movie. So my last one is A Million Ways to Die in the West.
Ooh, that's a great pick.
That is such a funny movie. Every time I watch it, like it is like I die laughing.
The trailer for the first time because I really love Ted, which we can talk about the one the next episode. But this movie is so the trailer is like ingrained in my brain because I remember watching it with Dad, and at first we were like, "What?" And then it was like the director of Ted, and I was like, "Okay." And then it shows the shot of the ice block crushing the guy, and I was like, "What? You can do that in a movie?"
Yes.
And I was like, "This is so weird." And then, honestly, that was, like, the movie that got me into Westerns.
Okay, yeah.
And it's just such a funny movie. Like, ever since... It came out in 2014. Ever since then, the mustache song has been stuck in my head. It is so... Like, Liam Neeson being in it.
Yeah, it's a really stacked cast.
It's got some, like, pretty good beats. But I mean, critically, the problem that most people have is that it's a little fourth wall-y. Because he's just kind of like, this happens. And it's like, it's like, that's the mayor.
Yeah.
He's been dead for like a week.
Yeah. Or like when they're in the saloon and they're like, you see those miners over there? You see that they're dousing their food in hot sauce? That's because they're in the mines all day and their insides have just turned to whatever the line is. But he's just like explaining the fact that like the miners can't taste anything. And so they have to douse everything in a bunch of hot sauce.
That
and
scene then the is dude funny. Just dies. He's just like talking about the West. And
yeah.
And he's like, you can die from your own farts. And the guy just stands up, farts, and dies.
Yeah.
And the table
flips. That's probably my favorite scene.
Yeah. And then the weird thing about his friend
Yeah.
And his wife. She's a prostitute.
Yeah.
But they're waiting till marriage.
It's so weird.
Like the, like there's that one part where she's like, oh, I can buy you that belt or whatever it is. And then he's like, and she like tries to kiss him and he's like, oh, you got something on
your face.
It's so
weird. But I think, but the only gripe I have about that movie is like, it's so funny. The first half of the movie.
And then it just gets serious.
And then it gets so serious and then you're not laughing as much. And
I do like the scene where he's tripping out with the natives.
Yeah.
When they're like getting their, in their like circle in the teepee, or not in the teepee, but they're around the campfire.
Yeah.
And that scene is visually really well done.
Yeah.
But critically, the reason why people hate it is because he's just complaining so much about his situation.
Yeah.
And does nothing to fix it.
Right.
So people just think he's a whiny, just brat.
Yeah.
But what sucks about this movie is I like it a lot and I don't really see why people hate it that much, but it ruined Seth MacFarlane's career in a way that he just doesn't want to do movies anymore. Mm-hmm. Kind of like what happened to Hayden Christensen.
Yeah.
Where he just doesn't want to do movies anymore. But also at the same time, like they wouldn't allow him to.
Yeah.
Which sucks because it was like Ted 1 and 2. I love both those movies.
Yeah, those are really good movies.
And then this movie, I just loved it, which... Hopefully he kind of comes back because he is producing Naked Gun.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
So, and it's just, he's funny. He is a funny guy.
I like that movie a lot.
It's
every single time I watch it, I laugh so hard.
He's like, can you give her wrapped candies?
Yeah. I think that's a good movie.
His parents are funny too.
Yeah. Yeah. It's so funny. Everything about
it. Or like his sheep is on the house for some reason.
Yeah.
He's like, how did you get on the house?
Yeah, Seth MacFarlane did such a good job.
And what's her name puts laxatives in the his, like, drink, and then they goes up for the duel and he keeps like pooping in people's hats.
Yeah. Ugh, so gross. The sound effects are really good in that movie.
Neil Patrick Harris is really funny.
Yeah, I like him a lot. He did such a good job playing the villain or one of the villains.
What's her name putting a flower in Liam Neeson's butt
after
he knocked him out. The funniest cameo, the Back to the Future.
Back to 3, the Future, yes.
When he just opens the barn door and it's Doc and he's like, yeah, and just closes it.
Yeah.
So random.
It was so random, but I liked it so much. Like, it was such a good cameo to have.
Back to the Future 3, the best Western of all time.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. But yeah.
That's another movie that got me into Westerns is Back to the Future
3. Back to the Future 3
that's another one.
I think it's underrated.
That's another one that people hate. I love, people don't really agree with this. I know Dad doesn't, but I love Back to the Future 2. It's my favorite one.
All three of them are so good.
They're like one of the, if not like perfect trilogies. I think is incredible. This is a really off topic, but Back to the Future 2, they recasted Marty McFly's girlfriend. And then so the ending of the first one, that's how it starts.
Mm-hmm.
And they had, since they recast her, they had to reshoot it.
Mm-hmm.
And if you watch it parallel, it is a perfect, perfect shot-for-shot recreation. Like, exactly perfect.
Really?
After we finish this, I'll show you. It is incredible.
Okay.
It is so, like, crazy how they did it. It's just amazing. But, yeah, Million Ways to Die in the West. Such a funny movie.
Yeah, really good. And I think that is a good movie to end this on.
Mustache.
Oh, my gosh.
It's
in my stuck head in my head.
It's so catchy.
Yeah.
And that scene is just funny. Or, like, when he's shooting, when he's learning how to shoot, and he, like, gets straight up to the glass bottle, and it's still missing.
Yeah. So good. This is so good. All right. Well, I actually really enjoyed doing this episode. So
we could also maybe do the opposite of this, the worst best movies.
Okay.
Movies that are really like Licorice Pizza will be on there for me.
Yeah.
My Own Private Idaho would be up there for me.
Okay.
Or like the worst best movies.
Yeah. I'm excited to do another one of these. I didn't realize how many like movies that did really bad or just like aren't good or.
We didn't even talk about Fantastic Four, and that was on your thing. The old ones.
Yeah, yeah. So I think we can definitely do a lot more of these. So,
yeah.
Well, let us know what you thought, and check us out on Friday for movie news. You don't want to miss it. There's a lot that I've seen recently. So, yeah.
Yeah. Anything I don't know what Tuesday episode's going to be next week.
No.
If we can't really think of anything, it might be another one of these. Might be a Criterion episode.
Actually, did you watch Queen of the Ring?
I couldn't find it anywhere.
I told you you could sign into my Prime account if you want. I bought it.
What's today, Sunday? I'll watch it tomorrow.
Okay. Yeah.
Maybe tonight. No, probably not tonight. Maybe. Yeah, probably. I'll watch it tomorrow.
Okay. Or, yeah, we could come up with something. Because I watched A Place Beyond the Pines. Mm-hmm. So yeah. That was our deal.
Well, actually, if you wanted, we could do. We'll talk about this after. But okay. So, yeah, that was our episode on the worst, best movies.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us your thoughts.
Opinions. We'll see you Friday for movie news.